about this all week long. Hallelujah. This is Rosh Hashanah, which is the Jewish New Year. And I don't know about you, but we're grafted in, so I'm excited. That's supposed to be a great time, a joyous time, a happy time. And we're supposed to let aside everything from the past and walk in the future. So let's give the Lord a hand. I'm standing for that. This is Rosh Hashanah 5780. And that's their calendar, like how we go. This
is
2019.
Anyways, their Rosh Hashanah is 5780, and I'm excited about it.
Can you imagine if the weight of all the Lord's glory fell on you? You know, I was thinking while that song was going on, that you two kind of experienced that a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
The weight of His glory falling on. But I don't know if we could take it.
I don't think so, not with everybody on the floor.
But is this not one of the three holy days that the Jews have to keep?
Yes.
And but as Christians, we don't have to. But if we had them, commanded them, I think it's probably good for us to kind of get into it a little bit, like we are. And another year closer to rapture. The blessed hope, right?
Amen. Yes.
The blessed hope.
Thank you, Lord.
A new year. I just look forward for the Lord to be real active in our lives this year. It's coming. And I know we always think 2019, this and that, but that's not exactly what the Lord goes by. I think He does sometimes to assist us. You know, we think 2019, 2020, but boy, the new year is starting now. I think according to Him. Starting right now, so things we hear about this new year starts now. So I'm looking forward to new things. there will be challenges, but He will not forsake us in those challenges. We know that. He said that. That's His word. That's it. So. Well, Father God, we thank You for this privilege of celebrating this new year.
Amen.
You established this for Your people long ago. It was a command of Yours. And You haven't commanded us, but we gladly take part of it, Lord. We celebrate Your new year today. Is it today, Mary?
Yeah, but so at sundown.
Doesn't it start today? It goes for several days, don't it?
Yeah, it starts at sundown.
Starting at sundown tonight, Lord. And we thank You for that privilege of celebrating it. And quite frankly, Father God, we are looking forward to see what You're going to do. We know You are active always. You are always working in our lives. But this year, the way that our lives are going, the way this county is going, the way this country is going, the way the world is going, we need You more than ever to be active in our lives and around the earth, Father God.
Thank You, Lord.
And by Your prophets, You have said that You will be doing more. And we're looking forward to it, Father God, in every way. And we thank You. We thank You for Jesus. We thank You for our Messiah. We thank You for our Messiah.
Thank You, Lord.
We thank You, Jesus, for what You did for us.
Thank You for standing.
And we know, we we know you are with us every second, every day. But this coming year, we look forward for the weight of your awesome glory to fall on us individually and collectively and nationally and around the earth. Because you love every person on this earth. Jesus came to save everyone. Everyone. And we thank you.
Lord.
We thank you that we know him. We are blessed that we know him. We have freedom to know him, to worship him. We take part of that. We take pride in it. We are thankful that we can. We are thankful and grateful, Lord Jesus, for what you did for us. And we pray. We honor you. And we pray in your holy name.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
If you have your Bibles today, please turn to Psalm 90. The Eternal God in Man's Fertility. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to destruction and say, "Return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night, you carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes and grows up. But in the evening it is cut down and withers. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we were terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your accountants. For all your days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it will soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? As for the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain the heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad in all of our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to their children, and let the beauty of the Lord of our God be upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands for us. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Father, I ask for your anointing upon the word this morning. Let us just rejoice today in you, Lord. Hallelujah. Rosh Hashanah, 5780. Rosh Hashanah. Literally means head of the year. A happy new year. Their new year. It is the beginning. It's like it starts all over again. It is coming soon? No, it is at sundown today. Sundown tonight, I guess you'd say. As an appointed time by God. I think of all the feasts there are a couple that he asks us to do. The one is Passover, and this one here, Rosh Hashanah. Some people do the trumpets. Some people do the booths. But this time right now is an open heaven. Some preachers refer to it as an open portal. It's a time portal. It means that the heavens are opened up, listening to us coming down the blessings of the Lord. It's a specific time. It's an important time. It is a time when all your debts are canceled and settled, and assets that have been stolen from you are restored. So I'm going to say that again. It's when your debts are canceled, settled, and assets are restored to you. You need to proclaim it. You need to call it in. You need to thank the Lord ahead of time. We enter his gates with thanksgiving. Now, I want to just kind of give you this little bit, and then we'll get into the word. The economy of Israel at this time is actually being refreshed. There's a lot of things going on around Israel. But, you know, Israel's about the size of New Jersey, and it's desert-like. But you know what? Because the Lord blessed it, I mean, my goodness, there are olive trees and fruit trees and unbelievable gardens that are there. And it's amazing. But that was God's touch to make it just flourish. For us Christians, if you're not a Jew, what it means is that this is the time for harvest. This is the time to reach out to people. This is the time to celebrate with what he is giving us and what he has already given us. And I kind of want you to go into the word with me for a moment, and then I'll go back. I'd like you to go to Leviticus. Now, that's in the Old Testament. The Old Testament and the New Testament go hand in hand. It's kind of a parallel for us. Leviticus 23. And my message is from 24 on, but we'll read up a little bit. Everybody find it yet? Leviticus 23. I'm going to kind of go back just a little bit, just so that you know that verse 18 says, "And you shall offer with the bread seven lambs of the first year without blemish, one young bull," these are sacrifices to God, "two rams. They shall be as a burnt offering to the Lord. And with their grain offering and their drink offerings, an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma to the Lord." Now, if you've been here, you already know that the area where they brought different sacrifices, we call them offerings unto the Lord, there couldn't be any spots on them. They couldn't have any blemishes. That's what it means. They had to be. Actually, they should have been the first ones that were born. And it was given to the priest, and they were skinned, and maybe that sounds kind of gross to us today, but, you know, the blood was sacrificed and was put on four horns, and it was an offering unto the Lord, and the high priest took it into the Holy of Holies. "Then you shall sacrifice one kid of the goats," that's the younger one, "as a sin offering, and two male lambs of the first year as a sacrifice of a peace offering." Verse 20, "The priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruit as a wave offering," excuse me, "before the Lord with two lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priests." Now, the priests were allowed to eat the meat of the animal. A lot of people don't realize that, but they were. That's what was done. As well as the showbreads, after they offered it to the Lord, they were allowed to eat the showbread. I've shown you pictures of it. Now, these offerings were given to God. And so, like, if you sinned and you did bad things, these offerings were given to the Lord, to God himself, that he would excuse. It was up to him whether he wanted to excuse what you had done. Today, we don't have to do that. Jesus died on the cross for you and I, and his blood cleansed us, made us pure, and so we can always go right to Jesus today. But in the Bible times, they had to have priests and high priests that made these offerings unto the Lord. Verse 20, the priest shall wave them. Like when we're in praise and worship, you know, and we go like this, and we lift our hands up like this, you know, and your kids are making moves and stuff like that to the days of Elijah. That's really like a wave offering unto the Lord. And do you know that some churches, when they start out their service, they have everybody stand up and do a wave offering unto the Lord and thank him for what they already have. I think that is so awesome. I've seen it many times on TV. Verse 20, and the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits as a wave offering before the Lord with the two lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priests. Verse 21, and you shall proclaim on that same day that it is a holy convocation to you. You shall do no customary work on it, and it shall be a statute forever in your own dwelling and throughout your generations. Verse 22. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap corners of your field which you reap, nor shall you gather any gleaning from your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the stranger, for I am the Lord your God. Now, I'm going to give you a picture of that. When they were out there farming, remember I told you I wasn't a farmer. And so they would be picking and doing what they did in the middle, but the very ends, they were to leave those ends. So if you were poor, you didn't have food stamps like today. You got to go into those fields and pick what was left so that you could take it home and make bread. You understand that? And it was to strangers, people that were visiting from other lands, from other nations, if I could say it that way. They could go in there as well. So the God thought about the people who were poor back then as well as he does today. I think that is such a powerful teaching. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, and this is the start of my message, verse 24, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by the fire to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, and also the 10th of his seventh month shall be the day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. Verse 28. And you shall do no work on that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. Now, I don't know about you, but what that is saying is, like, we come to church here on Sunday. Truly, the Sabbath was Saturday in the Bible times, and for some churches it still is. Some people argue with it. That's not my point. My point is to tell you that this is the time that you dedicate yourself to the Lord. You spend time with him. You praise him. I believe that this fall festival today is so important that I believe that the Lord will return on this day. He will return during the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah. I believe that with everything I have. Now, exactly what time, exactly what month, nobody knows that. But we are to be ready on Rosh Hashanah. Should be ready all the time. Now, there are tons of
When you come to the Lord, you've repented of your sins and he washes them away. There are many people that do not believe that you have to repent for your sins today. I'm not judging other churches, I'm not judging other people, I'm not judging other pastors. I'm just saying that when you do something wrong, you need to come to the Lord and you need to tell him that you blew it and he will forgive you. And it is under the blood and he remembers it no more. And I'm real picky that people understand that. I still feel that it can be a personal time that you can go before the Lord in your quiet place, in your secret place, and speak to the Lord, gosh, Lord, I blew it. Help, Lord. And then you're not supposed to do it again. When we talk about the river of grace, we have many times here. The river of grace is not a ticket for you to sin. It is to get refreshed and to do it no more. Get in that river. Let him fill you with his grace, his mercy, and his love. Because I'm telling you, you're not going to get it from man. They will condemn you. They will find fault with you. They don't like this. They don't like that. That's not our place. And it's not yours. Your place is to pray for that person and take them to the river. Let the Holy Spirit minister to them. Get them in that grace river. Let them know that there are second chances. Each day during the week of Rosh Hashanah, it is every Jew's position to ask God for forgiveness. And if they haven't done well with their neighbor or a family member or whomever, they are required to go and say, I'm sorry. Now that person, that neighbor, if I can use that as an example, they might not forgive you. But the Lord says that you were made righteous by Jesus Christ. So you need to ask forgiveness to a person who has done wrong to you, and that's to set you free. I wish I would have learned that when I was young. The days of Rosh Hashanah is such an important time. It's a celebration. It's taking all the things that are bothering you so bad or have happened to you, and truthfully, they used to burn them. Burn the things that were bad at that time. I wish we could do that. Yeah, we could.
Yeah, it'd be a good time.
And one of the other things that I put down here is that whether we understand it or not, life is a journey. And if I could ever explain anything to you, this is the time to know that everything that the enemy has tried to take away from you will be restored. That's what the Lord says during Rosh Hashanah. The other thing that many people do on the high holiday, I'm going to call it that, is that they fast. Fasting isn't for you to say, well, I fasted, look what I did, look at me, I don't feel good, and all this kind of stuff. When you really do a fast, what that's doing is that's for you. That means that you are letting certain things go. It's not about self. It's about the Lord filling this temple here. And that's up to you how the Lord has you do that. And I think I've talked a little bit about fasting. I don't know about you, but you know, like we do things wrong. Have you ever noticed how sometimes we try to corrected ourselves, you know, like, oh, I that was so bad what I did. Next time I won't do it. But truthfully, the only way that we can get correction, and it's done out of love, is by the Holy Spirit. And Rosh Hashanah is a time when we're to take stock of all that stuff that's inside of us and say, I don't want it no more. I want to be new. I want to be refreshed. I want to move forward. And it's never too late to do that. And for some of us, it could be a quiet reflection, as Karen said. Sometimes it's just focusing in on the Lord and allowing the Lord to heal you and do different things to you, to help you, to tell you what you need to get rid of. Another thing that I put down here too is hatred. I think hatred's getting worse. I think prejudices are getting worse. I think that at one time there was even prejudices against Jewish people. Sometimes there are prejudices against Christian people too. But what I've learned during this time of Rosh Hashanah is that there's not to be this religious hatred. And some of us actually have that ourselves. And we have to ask the Lord to help us with that. He's the only one. So I thought that was interesting that that was mentioned. I think during Rosh Hashanah, it's supposed to be a joyous time. So I wrote here that it's a time for restoration. It's a time for grace. It's a time for blessing. It's a time that we can look back and say, you know, I am blessed. And I've handed out 25 blessings over this period of time to you guys, you know, over the years. But what I have found out is there's a lot more than those 25. That's just hitting the surface. I think it's also a time to increase our faith. It's a time of healing, and that's what I'm standing for. I'm standing right now, you know, for my own healing, and I'm also standing for Jason's healing, and also standing for healing for our granddaughter. And I believe she is healed. We're just waiting for the manifestations to come forth. But I also think it's a time for church growth. Yes. I think it's a time that the church is supposed to bring in the harvest. If we could just look at every person that's out there and look at their soul and be concerned, where are they going? I think that what I put here is a time of evangelism and it's a time of His glory. When I was up here this morning and Joe left, he was up here too, and he left to go get you, Kim. Now, I could feel His presence. It was so strong up here, I could barely stand. Even doing praise and worship, it was strong up here, and you could either feel it, partake of it, or, you know, not. And I just really felt like, wow, His glory was very, very strong. There are certain graces the Lord has been preparing to release, and He wants to build up His people. Generation by generation, I believe this is time for those kids back there. I believe it's a time for younger people. I believe it's a time that we start reaching out to these kids. I mean, we've got an open door here from these principles. I'm blown away by it. And so we need to step forward and make ourselves known in who we are. And the one thing that I feel deep down inside is, maybe you don't feel that that's your calling. Well, if someone else doesn't do it, you need to do it. You need to get out there. And I really believe we all have something to do. But the Lord is a wise builder. I think if I could start preaching again, it's been a long time. I don't even know where it's at, to be honest. But I really believe this is a time of Nehemiah. I believe this is the time when we talk about building the walls again. I put down here that He's trying to build all of you up in here today. He's trying to build you up spiritually, but you have to have ears to hear, and you have to hear the words from heaven, and He wants you to release decrees. Decrees. And we're going to do that tonight. I have, I don't know how many, 10 or 11 already typed up decrees I want you to release into the heavenlies. And it's about you. And with the grace of God tonight, I'm going to read those and have you repeat them, or maybe we'll do them together. I know, and trust the Holy Spirit on that. But I'm telling you right now, the enemy is heavy. The enemy is attacking.
And truthfully, I said to Joe, I said, my gosh, I'm just good. It always seems like there comes an attack at this time of Rosh Hashanah, from jobs to different things happening with families, and we need to start proclaiming, saying you have no power and authority here. You have no power and authority in our house. You have no power and authority in me. And people say, well, you know, isn't that giving credence to the devil? Heck no!
He's there.
We're proclaiming he has no power and authority. Yeah. And we need to stand on that. And if you ever think that the devil and all of his devils, Satan himself, doesn't want to destroy you, you're wrong. He wants to wipe you out. Yes. He doesn't want you to bring anybody to the kingdom.
No.
He doesn't want you to have the graces and the blessings of the Lord. And I wrote here that the Lord wants to release something new this Rosh Hashanah season. I believe there is such great blessings and revelations given, and we need to pay attention. We need to ask the Lord, what are they? What are you trying to say to each one of us today? When you go home, I want to encourage you to take a few minutes and say to the Lord that I want to redeem this time. What are you trying to say to me? The word redeem means to buy up the time, to ransom the time. The Lord wants us to pay careful and close attention to what he's trying to do to you and me, and on this earth. The earth is moaning. The earth is groaning. And it's intensifying. When can you remember all this rain that we've got right now? When can you remember all this flooding? When can you remember, hey, it is snowing in Montana and Colorado right now? They actually had snow blizzard warnings out. As I lay there in bed and looked at the snow that was coming, I thought, oh my gosh. But what's important is this. There comes a panic on us because we think of all the things that we've got to do. And it just seems like time is short. We have to trust in God's timing. I say that all the time. You know, Joe and I, look at, we got to get the doc in. Heck, I can't even go up and down steps. There's things that have to be done. The boats have to be picked up. You know, it's just kind of like you can just picture this whirlwind, if I can say that. And what I've said is, you know what? Joe, it's going to get done. It's going to get done in God's timing. We just have to trust the Lord. I'm just trying to make this really personal. You might have another problem. You know, maybe you hate the job that you're doing. Well, God's got you there for a reason, whether you like it or not. He's trying to show you something, witness to someone, say something to someone, pray for someone whose soul could be headed for hell. You don't know unless you spend time with the Lord. But I believe that the Lord wants us to pay careful and close attention to what he's doing right now. It's not my opinion, Joe's opinion, your opinion. It's what he's doing, what he wants. It's his. The signs of the times. I've talked forever about that. You've seen different things in the clouds. In fact, when Karen got in the car, she said, you know, with the rain and everything that was going on, she could just see this huge angel and she could see the wings and stuff. And I said, yeah, I know. Because Joe and I saw it. We didn't talk. We haven't communicated or anything. I'm just telling you, there are signs for us. Mm-hmm. I don't know. He's just telling us that he's with us. That's how I take it. Mm-hmm. I'm not a doom and gloom person. I'm really not. But I give you fair warning from this pulpit to prepare. To get yourself, it's not time to play church. It's not time for me to make you feel bad. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just telling you at this time of Rosh Hashanah that this is a tremendous time of opportunity and we have a choice to walk in it or not. We are living in a time of great wealth of knowledge. You know, I'm a researcher. I love to teach, but I also like researching. And we were researching different things, which has nothing to do with the word, but we were researching things, and it was just so fast. There it was. So what I'm trying to tell you is everything in this media is fast. So we need to pray the blood of Jesus on the media.
Yes.
So that it goes to other nations, but it's the pure word. Joe and I were reading, and he can probably remember the details more than I. He's got a better mind, really. But I was reading about a nun. I don't remember her name. And she took a stand against the Pope. I hope this is being recorded here. And she just felt that there was such wrong teachings coming from the Pope and what he was saying. He said that the God of Islam, that the gods that are out there are the same as our God.
Oh, no.
We call God the absolute, just that word, the absolute, so it encompasses everything or anybody's belief. May the absolute, he measured both.
Making that decree.
Calling God the absolute.
And this nun got on YouTube, or it was televised, I don't know, and she talked about how wrong that was.
It was concerning global education of the children. That's where he is focusing his attention. Global stuff, globalism, global education of the children.
It's been proclaimed.
On the absolute.
And I want you to know there is only one true God. One true God. He's God. He's the only way. And the only way that you're going to get to heaven is knowing Jesus Christ. He's the only way. And the Holy Spirit is given to us to comfort us, to guide us, and direct us. There's no other way. If you never learn anything from this church, you know that there's only one God. There's so much going on in curriculum right now that it really brings up righteous anger in me. In fact, we had a person here from church last Sunday that asked if they could speak to me in the office. And I said, for sure. And so we went in the office, and this person said to me, what do you believe in the Big Bang Theory? And the Holy Spirit spoke. I could hear him. Watch what you say. This person trusts you. And I told him I believed it was right out of hell. And I spared no words and told him what I thought of. I've had kids come and talk to me about the homosexual lifestyle. I spare no words. The Lord loves the homosexual, but he hates the sin. The Holy Spirit, I try to speak the truth the best that I know how. You have to speak the truth yourself. I believe that there's so much that's going on that kids don't know what is right and what is wrong anymore. He is asking us to realign our lives. He's asking us for realignment at the time of Rosh Hashanah. He doesn't want it to be the same, the same, the same. These
unusual times that I'm talking about and all the things that are going on, I'm really sorry that there's people who say that God brought the flooding, God brought the tornado. I don't believe that. My Father does not do things to harm you. He does things to help you. He does good things. So what I want you to do is that we have to step into this time in Rosh Hashanah, because it's a different time. We have to take these things, and I don't care if you verbalize it to me all the time. You know, I get people say, oh, you know, I let the old go, and I'm welcoming in the new. What a lie. Then I talk with you, and your life's a living hell. It's utter chaos at your house. Well, something's wrong. You have to lay things down. Maybe you need to lay yourself down. Maybe you need to let the Holy Spirit work. Maybe you have to be able to let this shift of realignment take place. New seasons. Can I encourage you with this? Let the old go and prepare yourself and get ready for His glory to come. His glory can come in so many ways, and it's coming differently than it's ever come before. I've seen the cloud. I was in it a couple weeks ago. But the Lord says, you and I have to keep our oil lamps. I said, Lord, I've already preached that. He says, you tell them to get, again, get your oil in your oil lamps and get it filled up. Because you need to be ready for His coming. Rosh Hashanah talks about that. I put down here, I love the song, His Great Name. I love the name of Jesus. I love that song. I really do. I believe the person that sang that song and wrote that song had to have such a relationship with Jesus Christ. As I laid in bed and I couldn't do anything and Joe was making dinner, there's a program on Uplift TV, and it disturbs me. And these kids were getting up, and they were memorizing, like, all of a particular section of the Bible. So, for example, I read to you in Leviticus, how would you like to stand up here on this stage and give it out to the people and have it all memorized? And then these three or four people sit as judges, and you might have screwed up on a name or screwed up on a word or whatever, and well, it's done then. And I got something just kind of boiled up inside of me. There's nothing wrong in memorizing the scriptures. There's nothing wrong in memorizing, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in Him. And how fast can you say it? But it's about relationship. And so when I was looking at these precious little babies up there, they were just young kids, maybe junior high age. They were rattling it off. And I said to Joe, I said, honey, I wonder how many of them really know. Yep, you're right. To memorize scripture kind of builds you up and makes you feel strong. But you can come against the enemy in it. But all it says is say, Jesus. The enemy has to flee. I praise you, Jesus. I give you thanks, Lord. I glorify your name. You're worthy to be praised. I extol thee, Lord. That sends the enemy. I'm not saying there's anything wrong in memorizing scripture. I don't want to be misunderstood by that. But to stand up here and do 15 verses and give it out to the people, it's almost a self thing to me. And these precious kids will say, well, you know, hey, I studied it on flashcards, and I did this, and I did that. Didn't that youth group, didn't we talk about hearing the Lord? Didn't we talk about hearing Him? We got to hear Him. We got to spend time with Him. Many people have been going through attacks, trials, tribulations. You want to know the truth? This is a time when the enemy loves to scatter the flock. This is a time when he tries to divide us. This is a time that we start questioning certain things and wondering, is it from the Lord or what is that? But the Lord is about to come through with massive restoration.
Amen.
For all of us.
Hallelujah.
Come on, people. That's where the clap. Lord's been talking to me about a lot of things, and I really believe my husband would call this a restitution. That's a great word for it. That's called payback. He's going to pay back to you, pay back to him for what he's stolen from you. So if I may, prepare. Prepare for more. Get excited. Be ready to throw all these things down. Make some changes. And you know what? It's not easy. But make some changes. I think I wrote down here, when we want to receive more from God, we have to make room for it. We have to do what's right. We have to bless other people. You know, it's such a hard thing. I remember this person really ticked me off with what they had done with J.R. Stevens for the housing situation during the tent revival. And if you don't know me, I hate when the underdog gets hit. I don't know if it's the mama bear in me or what.
It's the mama
bear. But I'm going to take your head off.
That's right.
And one of the things that the Holy Spirit showed me is using his grace. And truthfully, I've always been for the person that I call the underdog in the world, the person that nobody cares about, the one that everybody makes fun of. Truthfully. And I really believe that what the Holy Spirit's trying to tell us for this Rosh Hashanah is that we have to forgive one another. Forgive. Sounds so easy, right? There are certain things that can tick me off. I've learned to control my mouth a little bit better. Still working. But we have to forgive. So if Joe and I have done anything to hurt you, we're sorry. I can truthfully tell you we were kind of bad. We really want the best for you. I know especially myself, I would like to see things turned around for you. So in this new year with the open heaven,
and
believe it, we're going to pull it down. And that's what we're going to do tonight. Are you with me?
Amen.
Come on. Make an effort. Saying we'll try everything we got together. Not going to be that long, but we're going to make some decrees. I'm not excited about it. What the Lord's going to do for this new year. So if your kids want to come back at 6:30, you're more than welcome to. And I'm proud of you for coming and standing. And I want to encourage you kids to reach out to other kids to come, you know, for our youth thing. And I think that we will get bigger and better and more gainier. And I'd like to see if we can get some more musicians and things like that. I'd like to really see that handle pass to you guys. But you've got to be willing to do it. You've got to be willing to pray. You've got to be willing to try that. Who cares what man thinks? No one's going to laugh at you. You got to be willing to try. Try to pray. Try to speak up. New season, Rosh Hashanah, 57:80. Let's see what it's going to do for all of us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.